Well, good afternoon, and welcome to those who are joining us online. Again, it's always nice to have individuals share the Sabbath with us, and I know we don't get names or what locations individuals are from, but generally we have individuals from across the country joining us online and spending the Sabbath with us on a regular basis, so we appreciate that. Well, how much do we appreciate what God has given to us? I know we just came through Thanksgiving and thinking about all the blessings that we have. And there are numerous gifts that God's given each one of us, and some of those were even mentioned in the opening prayer. God's calling, His Spirit, the truth, having that given to us, forgiveness, repentance. And then we have all the physical blessings, as our homes and cars and all the things that we are blessed with, and even our physical health. But how often do we think about and are appreciative for the gift and the blessing that God has given us in the Sabbath day? I want to look at the creation of the Sabbath for a moment. And most people think of, well, when you go to where the Sabbath is, you go to the Ten Commandments. But we don't go to the Law of Moses. It was long before that when it was given. And after 6 days of creating, after 6 days of making and appointing things, that God continued His creation on that seventh day. Genesis chapter 2. It has been some time since I've covered the subject of the Sabbath, and I thought it would be appropriate and fitting to go back to that because the commandment itself says, remember the Sabbath day, and that's what we're going to do today. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1. Thus the heavens and earth and all the host of them were finished, and on the seventh day God ended His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all of His work which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because He had rested from all the work which God had created and made. Now, creating something and making something are different. You and I can make something. We can get some clay, we can make something. But we don't create. We can't make something from nothing, which is exactly what creating is, to create something. So here God says He was creating and He was making, and God made the Sabbath day. Every other day mentioned something was made or appointed, and some will say, well, this He just rested. That's really not making something that day. And yet all of the other days He made something, and on this particular day, He said, this is the Sabbath, I'm resting, and I'm making it holy. Now, we often look at creation, and we think of creation as being mountains, rivers, streams, lakes, animals, insects, bugs, all these different things that we think of in creation. And those are the things that were created, but there's something else that God made during that creation week that was very, very special. Has the Sabbath become such a habit, and we do it on a weekly basis, should be coming, enjoying Sabbath services together, keeping the Sabbath on a regular basis, but has it become such a habit that we forget the reasons of why we keep it? The past 2 years have been challenging, and it has challenged our ability to be able to keep the Sabbath in the same way. We know that in 2020, it became different for many of us. The middle of March, when they wouldn't allow any meetings to take place and we were doing services online, but it did not prevent us from keeping the Sabbath. Some thought, well, you know, now we haven't been keeping the Sabbath because we've all been in our homes, and part of the command is to assemble together, and we did that in small groups or less than 10, but it didn't prevent us from keeping the Sabbath. We were still able to keep and honor the Sabbath day the way God created it. How often do we stop and think about that seventh day creation? And why did God rest? Some would say, well, you know, that's not the same thing where God rested. So we can't think, well, He created it because He rested, because some say, oh, well, He was tired from creating. Others say, well, yeah, He rested, but that's not the same thing, not the same reason why we do it. Why did God rest? He wasn't tired. He wasn't worn out from creating Adam and Eve, which was the last creation. He didn't say, wow, that took it out of me. I need a day of rest. And He wasn't exhausted because He spent all day with the kids. because his newly created Adam and Eve, there was a lot that took place, and we know that he was teaching them and training them. Barnes' commentary states of Genesis 2:2, he finished or ended his work. To finish the work, the Hebrew conception is to cease from it, to be done with it. On the seventh day, it is distinguished from all the preceding days by itself being the subject of the narrative. The day itself, the Sabbath day, became the subject. Now you had Adam and Eve were the subject of one day. You have the sun and the moon and the stars as a day, separating the day and the night. But the subject of the seventh day was the Sabbath. In the absence of any work on this day, the eternal was occupied with the day itself and does four things in reference. First, he ceased from his work which he had made. We see 7 days of creation, creating and making, and he ceased or stopped. Secondly, it says he rested. By this, it was indicated that his undertaking was accomplished, not, oh, he's tired and now he needs a break, but that his undertaking was accomplished, and when nothing more remains to be done, the proposing agent rest contended. The resting of God arises not from weariness, but about completion of his task, and he is refreshed, not by recruiting his strength, but by being satisfied with the work that was done before him, just like he did with the other days. And he says he created it, and he said, it was good. It's done. Thirdly, God blessed the seventh day. Blessing it results in the bestowment of something good on the object blessed, and the only good thing that can be bestowed on a portion of time is to dedicate it to a noble use, a special and pleasing enjoyment. Accordingly, the fourth place, he hallowed it. So he blessed it and he hallowed it. And he says that, which means to set it apart as being a holy rest. This consecration is the blessing conferred on the seventh day. Now, it's interesting, you read something like that and you wonder, well, why don't more people just keep the Sabbath day then? If they understand why God did it and how blessed it is and the reasons why God did it, we can gain a lot from those two particular verses about why the Sabbath was created and why God says we are to remember it. So God ceased from his works, it was done, and God created the Sabbath, and everything that he created he called good. And then on the seventh day, he ceased from working, and he hallowed the Sabbath, and he rested. Now, we read in Psalms, let's turn to Psalm chapter 121. Some may think, well, God does get tired, he gets weary, and he needs rest just like we do. Psalm 121 and verse 1. Psalm 121 and verse 1. I will lift my eyes unto the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, which has made the heavens and the earth. See, he says, God created it. He will not suffer your foot to be moved. He that keeps you will not slumber. It's not that we're going to be praying someday and, oh, sorry, I didn't know you were sleeping. He doesn't slumber. Behold, he that keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He doesn't have to take that rest. That's one of the things when we think about eternal life and what it's going to be like being a spirit being is we're not going to be worn out. We're not going to be tired. We're going to have that energy, that spirit that flows through us. So it says he neither slumbers nor sleeps. He didn't need that rest and he wasn't tired. He's composed of spirit. So why then did he rest and why did he make that day holy? Well, Genesis 2 verse 3 says, God blessed the seventh day, he sanctified it because... Now he tells us, he said he blessed it and he sanctified it because in it he had rested from all the work which he had created and made. He said it was complete. So he blessed it and sanctified it and set it apart. But it wasn't for him, it was for a purpose. And God said, all that I have created is good, but it's finished, it's complete now. And he ceased from his work. Let's go to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2 gives us a little insight into the creation itself. And in Mark 2, it's speaking of the one who actually did the creating. It says in verse 23, Mark 2 and verse 23, and it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day. that his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. Now, other translations say they plucked grain, or they picked grain, or they said it could be wheat. But this particular translation in Mark says they plucked ears of corn. The Pharisees said to him, "Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day those things which are not lawful to them?" This is what the Pharisees thought. He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he had need and he hungered, and he and all that were with him? And how they went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priest. And he also gave to those who were with him." He said, "I know you look up to David, you respect David, but here's what David did." And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." Man was created first, and Christ is saying the Sabbath was made for man. It was made after, it was blessed and sanctified after, but he says it was made for man. Now, most people looked at the Sabbath at that time, at least the Pharisees. The Sabbath is more important than men, it's more important than other things, and we have to put it up on a particular pedestal that it wasn't supposed to be at. So we see why the Sabbath was made. He says it was made for man. It wasn't so God could catch up. It wasn't so that he could rest. It was finished. So man was created, and then the Sabbath day, and there's a reason for that particular order, because the Sabbath was made for the last day of his creation. According to Strong's, the word "made," where it says the Sabbath was made for man, in the Greek is the word that means to cause to be brought to pass, to be ordained to be. He said he ordained it, he brought it to pass, he made it for man. It was for a reason. Then in verse 28, he makes a very bold statement. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. He says, "Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." So he says, not only was it made for man, but I am the Lord of the Sabbath. Thayer's Bible Dictionary states of this word "Lord," it means I'm the owner or the possessor of. Christ said, "I am the owner of the Sabbath." This is important to know. So he was proclaiming himself to be the one who created it. He said, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Strong's Concordance says of this word "Lord," meaning supreme in authority, God, Lord, or Master. So he says, "I am supreme in authority over the Sabbath." Jesus Christ was and still is supreme in authority over the Sabbath. And we can't say, well, that's changed. He's no longer in charge of the Sabbath. That was given to someone else. And you'll understand why I bring that point up. Phillips' translation says, "That is why the Son of Man is master even of the Sabbath." The New English Bible says the Son of Man is sovereign even over the Sabbath. So when did the Sabbath change? It's a kind of a trick question. When did the Sabbath change? Who changed it? And where did they get authority to change the Sabbath? I guess a better question, or more important question, is, was the Sabbath changed? And the answer is no. The one who made it, the one who commanded it to be kept, the one who kept it in the New Testament, also told the Pharisees how to keep it and that he was Lord over it. No one else has ever been given authority and power over the Sabbath. He said, "The Lord, I am the Lord of the Sabbath," the one who is sovereign in charge. So did Christ change it to Sunday? Now, I'm speaking to a group that we know did not. But it is a reminder to go back and remember the Sabbath day and why it's important, because that is something that is going to come up again at the end of the age. But he tells us he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't say, "Well, I created the Sabbath, I was Lord over it, I blessed it, I sanctified it, I made it holy, but now you don't have to keep it. Now let's change it to a different day." No, he said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Or Malachi 3:6 says, "I am the Lord, I change not. Truth then is truth now." and he allows us to understand that he did not change it. So if he did change the day, or if he didn't change the day rather, when did the world start keeping Sunday? If it wasn't Christ who is sovereign over the Sabbath and has all authority over it, when did it change? When did it become the first day of the week? Historically, in AD 325, at the Council of Nicaea, a Roman emperor, and we know historically, we can go back and look at many documents that state this, the Roman emperor Constantine and the Catholic Church established Sunday as a day of rest. 325 AD. At the same time, the Catholic Church made it illegal to Judaize or be idle from work on the Sabbath day. So not only did they say, no, Sunday's the Sabbath, or they don't say Sunday's the Sabbath. Sunday is the day of worship. Sunday is the first day of the week. Sunday is the day we are going to honor God with. But it's illegal to Judaize or be idle on the seventh day Sabbath. Now that's interesting because that's taking control and saying if you try to work on the Sabbath, you're doing something illegal. Or I mean if you try not to work on the Sabbath. Yeah, if you work on Sunday, even today there are countries that if you work on Sunday, you're penalized. Or because they think that's their Sabbath day. And so they will penalize individuals for working on Sunday. So here he said it's illegal to Judaize for those who worked on the Sabbath. So we're likely to see, again, that happen at the end of the age with the beast power. When the beast power rises and begins to control times and seasons and things, it is very likely, and we know that the Sabbath is part of that mark that individuals will receive, it will probably go back to the point where it's illegal if you rest on the Sabbath. It's illegal if you separate that day because that makes you a Christian in that sense, but not the same as the rest of Christianity. The Catholic Encyclopedia, as well as other sources, give a lot of information. This is from the Catholic website on Sunday. Sunday is the day of the Lord. As the name of the first day of the week, it was derived from Egyptian astrology. Seven planets known as Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, Sun, Venus, Mercury, and the Moon. Each had an hour of the day assigned to them. And most people don't look at the names today as, oh yeah, just Sunday, Thursday. Monday is Moon Day, and that's where the honor of the moon. But each one was associated with an Egyptian astrology. So each one had a day assigned to which they were honored or kept. The planet was which was regent during the first hour of any day of the week was given a name of that day. During the first and second century, the week of 7 days was introduced into Roman Egypt, and the Roman names of the planets were given to each successive day. The Teutonic nations seem to have adopted the week as a division of time from the Romans, but they changed the Roman names to those corresponding to the Teutonic deities. Hence, Dies Solis became Sunday, or in German, Sonntag. Sunday was the first day of the week according to the Jewish method of reckoning. But for Christians, it began to take the place of the Jewish Sabbath in the apostolic times as the day set apart for public and solemn worship of God. The practice of meeting together on the first day of the week was a celebration of the Eucharist sacrifice and is called the Lord's Day. And the injunction is given that on the Lord's Day you come together and break bread and give thanks and offer the Eucharist after confessing your sins that you may sacrifice or that your sacrifice may be pure. Saint Ignatius speaks of Christians as no longer observing the Sabbath day, but living in the observance of the Lord's Day, on which also our life rose again. So most people today, they say, well, we keep Sunday because the Sabbath was changed to Sunday. No, the Sabbath was not changed. God created the Sabbath day. He made that day. He set it apart. And nowhere has it been changed. And even at the beginning, when individuals began to worship on Sunday instead of the Sabbath, they openly admit they had no longer observed the Sabbath, but they observed what they call the Lord's Day. And again, they add, on which our life rose again. So we see several things. Professing Christians, and we know not all professing Christians are this way, stopped keeping the seventh-day Sabbath and changed to Sunday. Books and references besides the Bible support what we teach and what the changes that were made, and it wasn't changing the day. There are only 7 days, as they themselves mention, and so an eighth day being the first day of the week doesn't make numerical sense. If you say, well, Sunday is the eighth day of the week, and it's also the first day of the week, well, then that would make Monday the ninth day of the week and the second day of the week. You can't do that with days of the week. Knowing that the resurrection was not on Sunday, because they say, we honor it because it's the Lord's day. It's the day that he was resurrected. It's the day that he rose again. Knowing that the resurrection was not on a Sunday, but it was rather at the end of the Sabbath day. So using that same reckoning or reasoning, it would still not make Sunday or the Lord's day the Sabbath. The Lord's Day is another subject. What day is the Lord's Day and what does it mean? But that would be a whole different sermon. I'm not going to go into that today. According to the Book of Common Prayer by the U.S. Episcopal Church, because we know it's not just the Catholics that keep Sunday or honor Sunday as the Lord's Day instead of keeping a Sabbath. This is the U.S. Episcopal Church, and it says, Sunday was the universal day of worship because it is the day of the resurrection, the day after the Sabbath. So they recognize, no, the Sabbath still exists. This is the day after the Sabbath. It is the Feast of First Fruits, in which Paul calls Jesus' resurrection the first fruits of the resurrection. And since it is the first day of the week, it is also the eighth day of the previous week, the day of the new creation. If you told your kids Sunday is the eighth day of the week, but it's also the first day of the week, they'd go, you can't have the first and the eighth on the same day. So again, what authority was there for the church, or what was considered then the beginning of a different church besides the church that Jesus Christ established? What authority was given to change anything, including the day of worship? Well, the Catholic Church claims that they have all authority to change that particular day. Around AD 400, Augustine, a Catholic theologian, proclaimed the following, and this is quoting from Robert Fox in Sabbath Laws and Sabbath Duties. The holy doctors of the church have decreed that all the glory of the Jewish Sabbath is transferred to it, Sunday. Let us therefore keep the Lord's Day as the ancients were commanded to do on the Sabbath. The Protestant church justifies Sunday by the Sunday resurrection. But they say, we didn't get it from the Catholics. Well, no, they weren't called Catholic then. It was just what we call today, and what still remains is the false church. But the Protestants say it's because of the Sunday resurrection. So is there anything biblical to a Sunday resurrection, or now you worship on the first day because, or the eighth day, because it is the day of the resurrection? Who is it that changed the days of worship? And do we see any changes by Christ and the apostles? And again, the answer is no. Can we find anything from God's inspired word that says there's now a different day of worship? The answer is no. I've got article after article. Actually, this particular thing that I printed out has page after page of quotes from various churches and various organizations through the millennia where they very openly admit, no, we do not see anywhere besides Scripture that the Sabbath is the day of worship. They said, that has not been changed. Saturday is the Sabbath, but here's why we keep Sunday. Or Saturday's the Sabbath, and here's why our church changed it. So it says, the holy doctors ceased from all the Jewish Sabbath and transferred it to Sunday and said they're going to keep the Lord's Day as the ancients. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. What Paul gave Timothy in instruction is very important, Timothy and Titus. I mean, all of Paul's writings are, but there's some very important things that he gave to us in his lessons to Timothy and Titus. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse, or 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, meaning all scripture is God-breathed. It came from God. And it is profitable for doctrine, which means teaching or understanding, for reproof, going through and reproving things, because if God changes not, he's the same yesterday and today and forever, you can go back and reprove from God's word. It's for correction and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, and that word means complete, thoroughly furnished unto all works. In other words, God says, my word has everything you need. You don't have to wonder, well, okay, I've got the Bible, it's God's instruction manual, but there's parts missing and I just need to go find some other sources. No, God said, all of it is everything that you need to be complete. Yet people refuse to use it. Most people who profess, well, no, I keep Sunday because the Bible tells us, could not go to the Bible and show you that Sunday is now the day of worship, or the Sabbath was changed to Sunday. They refuse to look at Scripture. And of course, their minds haven't been open to it. Now, we already looked at where the Sabbath began, and it wasn't with Moses, it was at the creation. But let's go back to Exodus and look at where he reiterates the Sabbath and gives it in a commandment to Moses. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. Exodus 20 and verse 8. The command is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember it. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So he repeats the Sabbath command. And if you don't think he's talking about the same day, he says, you know, the word remember means to mark, to remember, or to be mindful of the Sabbath. And again, we can get into a routine of keeping it where we're not mindful of it. It means to recount it, to remember it, to make it remembered, and it should be something we do on a regular basis. But he didn't say in Exodus 20, I'm giving you a brand new commandment, keep the Sabbath. He says, remember the Sabbath day. And so which day was he referring to? Verse 9, he says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Just as in the New Testament where he said, the Lord is sovereign over the Sabbath. He said, in it you shall do no work, you, your son, your daughter, your manservant, maidservant, your cattle, your stranger within your gates, just as God also ended his work. Verse 11 tells us why it's to be remembered. You can't say, well, maybe he was talking about Sunday in the commandment here. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth. He said, you're remembering the Sabbath day because you're remembering the creation. You're remembering everything that God put into force and why. He said, in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, most people would say, well, then you don't touch it. You don't try to change it. You don't come up with excuses, but that's the world today and that's human nature. So as a quick review to this point, the Sabbath was made by God. It was blessed and made holy. The Sabbath command was repeated to Moses, and nothing in history up to that point has changed. From the book Faith of Our Fathers, 1917, we find an individual named James Cardinal Gibbons, who was a Catholic educator, and he was the Archbishop of Baltimore. He stated, you may read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and you will not find a single line authorizing the sanctification of Sunday. Now, this is a Catholic Archbishop of Baltimore. He said, you can read the Bible, you're not going to find it. The scriptures enforce the religious observance of Saturday, a day which we never sanctify. Wow. That's pretty blatant. The Catholic Church correctly teaches that our Lord and his apostles inculcated certain important duties of religion which were never recorded by the inspired writers. You just got to trust us. We were given authority as a church, but it's not going to be in Scripture. You just trust that we were given that authority. We must therefore conclude that the Scripture alone cannot be sufficient guide and rule of our faith. Scripture alone is not enough, is what he was saying. Yet we read in 2 Timothy that all Scripture is thoroughly furnished to every good work for man to be complete. So no reference to Sunday as a day of worship is written until 135 to 150 AD. So it wasn't done by Christ or changed at that time. It wasn't done after his death by the apostles or the disciples or the early church. It wasn't in any scripture. The first time the Sunday as a day of worship began around 135 to 150. H.F. Thomas, Chancellor of the Chancellor of Cardinal Gibbons, November 11, 1895. Of course, the Catholic Church claims that change, Saturday Sabbath to Sunday, was her act. Yeah, they want to claim that because they're like, we have the authority and we are the ones who changed it. It says the act is a mark of her ecclesiastical authority in religious things. So they consider the change from Saturday to Sunday to be a mark of their ecclesiastical authority. Because we changed it and everybody keeps it, that shows that we have that authority to do so. Yet the Sabbath is mentioned over 50 times in the New Testament, in the four Gospels alone. 50 times. So can anyone simply say, well, I've been given authority and I'm going to change it? Exodus 20 verse 10 stated, the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Christ said, I'm Lord over the Sabbath. So who was that Lord that followed them in the wilderness and gave it to Moses? Well, we know that was Jesus Christ as the Word, the Logos or spokesman. And what Christ said in Mark 2:28, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. So for somebody to say, it's not written, it wasn't written by God, we're inspired to be written by God, it's our ecclesiastical duty, and we changed it, and that's proof that we have that authority. That's a mark of our proof to be able to change things or change the authority in religious things. So what did Christ say in the New Testament? He tells us he's Lord of the Sabbath. He also says, by saying that, nobody has been given that authority to change it. So we see what he said, but what did Christ do? Remember, he said, you are to walk as I walked. I have set you an example to do as I have done. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And verse 16. Luke 4 and verse 16. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Now remember, even the Catholics say, we don't keep the Sabbath day. We keep the Lord's day. But his custom was to go in on the Sabbath day and stand up to read. So it was his custom to keep the Sabbath, and the Greek word here means habit. It was his habit to keep the Sabbath day. Something he did as a regular habit, just as we should be in the habit of keeping the Sabbath day. We keep it without question. As a reference, Mark 6 and verse 2 says, when the Sabbath was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from where has this man learned these things, and what wisdom has been given to him? For even such mighty works are wrought by his hands. So it says in Mark 6 verse 2, he began to teach on the Sabbath. Luke 13:10 says he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day. These are places in the Gospels where the Sabbath is talked about and how Christ was keeping it, the disciples were keeping it. So we recap again. It was him, Christ, who made the Sabbath. He blessed the Sabbath and he made the Sabbath holy. He commanded that we remember it. It was his custom or habit in the New Testament to keep it. He taught on the Sabbath day and he stated, I am Lord of the Sabbath. And he also revealed himself as the Messiah on the Sabbath day. Luke 4, verse 16. Luke 4, verse 16, it says, so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went in and read on the Sabbath day. And he was handed a book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all that were in the synagogue were fixed on him. Probably got silent and they're probably going, well, what is he saying? What is his point? So they fixed on him and he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. He said, I am the one who's prophesied here in Isaiah. I'm the one that has come. And I'm fulfilling these things. And he was doing it on the Sabbath day, right in their presence. So even up to the time of the life of Christ, the Sabbath was not in question. Those who taught as disciples, or as his disciples and later became apostles, kept the Sabbath day. But what about Acts chapter 20, where many today say, well, in Acts 20, it was changed to Sunday. It was changed to the first day of the week. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 20 and see if it was actually changed in any way. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Upon the first day of the week, well, they didn't change the way they counted, and back then they didn't have an eighth and a first on the same day. It says, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. Ah, look, they broke bread together on the first day of the week, so it must have changed, according to most people's reasoning today. Paul preached to them, ready to depart on the day after, and continued his speech until midnight. So you notice in most translations, when you see the word day, it's in italics, meaning the word day is not there. So upon the first of the week, well, like tonight, Sabbath ends, you get together for a meal, you're now breaking bread on the first day of the week, because God begins the day with the evening and the morning. It says Paul preached till midnight that night, so it was towards the end of the day, but that makes it the first day of the week. If it was after sundown. But we already read, as their custom was, they kept the Sabbath on Saturday. So if Paul was teaching and went on till midnight and they stopped and ate, which it may have been a Mr. Waterhouse sermon, he may have been carrying on for some time, which if he went till midnight, that probably was. Now we already read their custom was to keep it on Saturday and it didn't change to a new day. It doesn't say now their habit changed. After the death of Christ, we read that Paul continued to keep the Sabbath. Acts 18, verse 4 says, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, persuading Jews and Greeks. He didn't say, well, we keep a new day of worship, but I got to go in on Saturdays and see how many people I can get. No, he reasoned and taught in the synagogues every Sabbath. So why was he teaching in the synagogues on the Sabbath instead of on Sunday when the so-called Christians would have been keeping it? Because they didn't keep Sunday. At that point, nothing had changed. And not for nearly 150 years or 120 years. So today, has it been changed? Has it been changed today? I want to look at passages that refer to the time that we're living in now and the time of the end, because that gives us a clue to, are people still keeping the Sabbath? Matthew chapter 24 is a passage we go to look at the end of the age, because the disciples were asking him, show us what's going to happen. What's going to be signs of the end of the age? Matthew 24 and verse 13 tells us of the time of the end. It says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Talk about the last days. because they were even asking him, what's going to happen? This gospel of the kingdom will be preached into all the world as a witness to all nations. Then the end will come. Again, speaking of the end of the age. Verse 15, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. We know that it is going to come a time that the church and individuals, especially those in Judea, will have to flee. Let him who is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, and let him who is in the field not go back to take his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant in those days and nursing babies in those days. Pray that your flight be not in the winter, nor on the Sabbath. Well, wait a minute. If the Sabbath was done away with, how could the end of the days there even be a Sabbath? Those who keep Sunday say, we don't keep the Sabbath. We didn't change it to Sunday. We're keeping the Lord's day. He says, pray that your flight not be on the Sabbath. The word here is sabbaton. It means the Sabbath. It says, for then shall be great tribulation such was not been since the beginning of the world, nor to this time, nor will ever be. So he says, I'm talking about the end of the age during the great tribulation of 3.5 years. Pray that your flight is not on the Sabbath. Except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Why would he pray that your flight be not on the Sabbath day if he had done away with the Sabbath? Or why would he say, in the end of the age, at the very end of things, if you can endure, hold on to the Sabbath and pray that your flight is not on the Sabbath, if the Sabbath was changed, or if any church had been given authority to change the Sabbath or to change the day of worship? Why didn't they say, pray that your flight be not on the Lord's day, the eighth or the first day? No, he says, pray that it not be on the Sabbath. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4 is important to understanding the Sabbath day and what changes have or have not been made. And this is just the first of two messages that I plan to give on the Sabbath. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, that any of you should seem to come short of it. So what is he talking about, this particular rest or entering into his rest? Wycliffe commentary states the context of chapter 3 with the children of Israel and their wilderness experience. Oh, he's talking about a rest, but he's talking about the children of Israel. He goes on to state the first places of rest in the future as a heavenly rest or entrance into the kingdom of God. The second view places more emphasis on the present rest, or the second rest emphasizes the present reality in a rest of faith, or ceasing from your works, which puts us into a closer relationship with Christ. Now, the reason I read Wycliffe is because it states that there are two different views, and it's important to understand. But either way, he's saying the Sabbath still remains. Verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, talking about the children of Israel, not being mixed with men of faith in them that heard it. For we, which have believed, do enter into rest, as he said. As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now, some get very confused reading these particular passages here in Hebrew. If the rest, which some people believe, oh, it's talking about a rest that when we die, we go to heaven, and so we're resting in heaven. If the rest is heaven because you believe, then you go to heaven, then using that deductive reasoning, if it just says, well, those who believe are going to be given that rest. Well, we believe. We have faith and truth and the understanding that God's given to us, but we're not in heaven, and we know that we don't go to heaven. Verse 4. For he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day. when we read something, we have to read the context. They're talking about the seventh day rest. So it says, we read in a certain place on the seventh day of this on this wise, and that God did rest the seventh day from all his works. There's a context. It tells us, what day am I talking about here in Hebrews? What is this rest? Seventh day. There's no doubt what he's speaking of. So we're speaking about a physical rest, and the word so far in these passages is kataposis, which means a reposing or a rest. It's talking about a physical resting on the Sabbath. Verse 5, in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not because of unbelief. Well, now it sounds like, well, how could they enter not into the Sabbath day? They were all commanded to keep it. How did they not enter in? We start seeing a type that those who did not enter the Sabbath because of unbelief. Now, again, this is part of the reason why we focus on remembering the Sabbath. We don't want to get into a habit of unbelief or not believing or not understanding or not knowing. So it says they did not enter because of unbelief. What is it talking about here that they did not enter? Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15. Hebrews 3 and verse 15. It says, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved for 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, and whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom he swore that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? Verse 19, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Wait a minute, he's talking about something different now. He's talking about the children of Israel, but he said they couldn't enter in because of unbelief. They physically were keeping the Sabbath, maybe not spiritually or mentally, but physically they were keeping the Sabbath, but he said they didn't believe and they could not enter. They were not allowed to enter the promised land. We know that. They were told, you cannot come in. The Sabbath pictures a type of that thousand-year millennial rest. And some will say, well, where is it that God talks about the seventh-day Sabbath or the 7,000 years of God's plan? Well, the seventh day is a seventh day of rest. The thousand years is considered a millennial rest. And those who could not enter the promised land, when we keep the Feast of Tabernacles, we're keeping a reminder of what that millennial period is going to be like when the kingdom of God is established on the earth for 1,000 years. And so in making a reference, if it's talking about future and it's saying you cannot enter that rest, just as they could not enter the physical promised land. Anchor Bible Dictionary, about the meaning of sabbatismos, this particular word here, the word Sabbath rest is translated in the Greek sabbatismos, and the term means seventh day Sabbath celebration. Sabbatismos is a seventh day Sabbath celebration. Anchor Bible Dictionary goes on with an explanation of in the context that says the author of Hebrews affirms in Hebrews 4 verses 3 through 11, through the joining of quotations from Genesis 2 and Psalms, that the promised Sabbath rest still is an anticipation of a complete realization for the people of God in the end time, which had been inaugurated with the appearance of Christ. The experience of a Sabbath rest points to a present rest, a kataposis, a Sabbath day, a present rest in reality in which those who believed have now entered, but it also points to a future rest, a future reality. Physical Sabbath keeping on the part of the new covenant believer is affirmed by the Sabbath rest, and it epitomizes the sensation or stopping from works. This is the Anchor Bible Dictionary. Again, another source that says, nope, the Sabbath is still there. The Sabbath is still just as vital. And it says, and it is a manifestation of the faith in salvation, something future provided by Christ. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 7. He says, again, he limits a certain day, saying, in David, today, after so long a time, it is said, today, if you will hear his voice and harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then he would not have afterwards spoken of another day, another future rest. Verse 9, there remains therefore a rest to the people of God. The word rest is sabbatismos. There remains, it's very similar to the word sabbaton. Sabbatismos occurs here, and sabbaton is the same word in Matthew where it says, pray that your flight be not on the Sabbath. Pray that it not be on the sabbaton. Here he says, there remains a sabbatismos, which is typical of a physical rest, but also something future. And again, when we think of the Sabbath, some say, well, the Sabbath was just a type. It pictures heaven. Well, then why would he say, pray that your flight be not on the Sabbath day? He doesn't say, pray that your flight be not in heaven. If you don't like flying, I guess you might pray that. But pray that your flight be not in heaven. Verse 10, it says, for he that is entered into his rest, back to the word kataposis instead of sabbatismos, he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works. Talking about a physical seventh day of rest, as God did from his. So a physical Sabbath day. Let us therefore enter into that rest, that kataposis, that Sabbath, lest any man fall in the same example of unbelief. He said, let's continue to keep the Sabbath, lest we fall into unbelief. Well, again, we have to be reminded of how important the Sabbath day is. The Catholic Church claims, well, our change to keep it on the Lord's Day or the eighth day shows that we have authority. That is our, and they consider it, is our mark of our authority. Well, God says the seventh day Sabbath is a sign of my people. It sets you apart. But is it, here he says, let us labor, therefore, to continue in that rest or that Sabbath, lest we also fall under unbelief. Sabbath wasn't done away with except by those who have entered into unbelief. They don't believe in the seventh-day Sabbath. They don't understand the seventh-day Sabbath and have blindly accepted the Lord's Day as a day of worship. And again, we cannot allow ourselves to enter into that unbelief. I want to look for a minute at those who wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 17. Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 17. Nevertheless, my eye spared them from destroying them, neither did it make an end of them in the wilderness. But I said to the children in the wilderness, walk not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourself with their idols. I am the Lord your God, walk in my statutes, keep my judgments and do them. Hallow my Sabbaths. Now it's a plural word. He didn't just say hallow my Sabbaths, but my Sabbaths, because, or Sabbaths, plural, because it is the annual Sabbaths, the holy days. Hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. He said the Sabbath, weekly Sabbath, and the annual Sabbath are a sign that I am your God. Yet people say, oh, well, Catholic Church was given authority to change it. That's their sign. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. They walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he will live in them. But they polluted my Sabbaths. Then I said, I would pour my fury on them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen, and in whose sight I brought them forth. So the Sabbath is a sign, and the weekly Sabbath day and the annual Sabbath point to something future. The holy days, we understand, point to something that has not happened yet. Half of them of what's taking place in our lives currently, and then half of what's going to be fulfilled in the future. Let's go to Colossians in closing. Colossians chapter 2. Another place that individuals will use to say, well, it was changed. And they use Colossians to justify keeping a different day. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 16. Let no man judge you, therefore, in meat or drink in respect of a holy day or a new moon or of the Sabbath day. So some people say, well, you're not supposed to judge a person, so any day is fine. Well, that's not what it says. It says, don't let another one judge you in your particular beliefs. Some were being judged for being vegetarian. Now, today, some say, well, you're not supposed to eat meat. And so they try to convince everyone you can't eat meat. Others say, you know, vegetarians or meat or not, you don't judge somebody else. If that's your belief, fine, you want to remain a vegetarian. Now that we've got a lot of meat eaters in the congregation, so we like to have our meat. But they use this and they say, don't judge anybody. Any day is fine. You can keep any day you want. This passage is probably one of the most widely misused, along with Acts 20, to prove that the days were done away. Oh, yeah, it was changed to the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, the eighth day, which is confusing enough by itself. Or to say, well, don't judge anybody. Any day is fine. The main focus of this passage is let no man judge you. The message did not do away with the days. It was focused towards the Gnostics, those who didn't believe. And he says, if people are coming to you and they don't believe, or they're confused about particular things, or if they have their own beliefs, don't let anyone judge you on the truth that you've been given. This message did not do away with that. Verse 17, it says, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. It said, let no one judge you of these things, including the Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come. And again, we understand the Sabbath day, we keep it on a weekly basis. We honor that day of rest. We use it to remember God and the creation and all that he's doing. We use it to remember the plan of God. But he tells us, it is a shadow of things to come. Now, some take this and say, well, see, it's done away because the shadow is always behind you. Well, that depends on whether you're walking towards the sun or away from it. They say the shadow is behind us. It's past. It's something that's over. But it tells us it's a shadow of things to come. Things to come are not behind you. That's something future. So it says it's a shadow. It's a picture of things to come. From Strong's Concordance, this phrase to come in the Greek is melo, M-E-L-O. And it means to intend, to be about, things that should happen afterward or are yet to happen. So these Sabbaths are things yet to happen. The fulfillment of the 7,000-year period and the type of the millennium being 1,000 years of rest is still to come. It means to do something. It means something is going to happen. And that's what God is explaining to us. There remains a rest, the seventh day rest as a Sabbath day, but there also remains the rest that I am saying is going to happen for mankind as a part of the meaning of his annual Sabbaths. But notice it also says that they are a shadow of things to come. It doesn't say they were a shadow of things to come. It says they are. It's a symbol and a subject of things that are going to happen in the future. The Greek here is for the word for are is E-S-T-I-S-D. It means things that are going to be, not things that were, not things that are bygone, things that are going to be. So it's speaking of future tense. So it says there does remain a Sabbath. There does remain a rest. Part two, I plan to focus on the Sabbath day itself and how it should be kept and why it's kept, even in today, and how things have changed in the way of the keeping of the Sabbath. But God says there is a future rest coming for the people of God, but hopefully it gives us a better understanding why the commandment was given to us, remember the Sabbath day. We should remember it every time we keep it. Every Sabbath when it comes, remembering this is the Sabbath day. This is holy time. It's set apart. Christ told us he set it apart, hallowed it, made it holy, something that we keep, and we are to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.